Well, good morning. It's Wednesday. Excuse me. It's Wednesday, March 6th, 10:56 a.m. March 6th, 2024. Here on a mostly sunny, scattered cloud morning on the hot plains east of the Rocky Mountains in Greeley, Colorado. We'll get all the pieces out here eventually. It's going to be a dry mouth morning, I can tell right now. Stepping out into the road here to get around a bunch of trucks and people. Lawn service company. Lady with the walker who's walking almost as fast as I am. Not to fall down. Oh yeah, hi. Good morning. Yeah. Yeah, that's a little better. I wet the whistle a bit. It's 48, almost 50 when I left the house. Official temperature is still 40. It feels closer to the official temperature. I have a suspicion that the microclimate in my backyard might be tacking on a few extra degrees. But it is a beautiful fall, beautiful fall, beautiful spring morning. There's a smudge of Heisen clouds off to the north, north-northwest. It's on this side of the mountains, I think. Other than that, the sky is pretty blue. Don't have a lot to talk about today. Been trying to think about the cat. I spent some time riding yesterday and found myself falling into the same trap and getting myself all tangled up in a story that isn't about the cat. And it's because I'm trying to force it. I'm pretty sure that's the problem. I'm trying to force it to be words on the page without thinking too much about if they're the right words, just slinging words against the page. I've got a lot of strikeout in this file. I've written stuff, crossed it out, written stuff, crossed it out. None of it's doing me a whole lot of good. So How did I get there? I don't know. So I closed the word processor this morning. And I went to the notebooks. Wrote 3 or 4 pages of stuff about what the story might be about, things that could be happening. I'm doing sort of a brainstorm with myself on why we need a cat. What is the story with the cat? Why does the cat show up? Why is the cat there? It's been the stumbling block all along. It's like, why cat? And I think there's probably a really good story in there if I can answer this question. It's like, the wizard's butler didn't come together until I came up with why a butler. And the story is really a couple of parts in motion. And one of them is the old man and his money-grubbing niece. The other part is Roger, the butler. And what does he do and how does he do it? And how is he finding meaning in what many would consider a menial task, a menial job? So, the amulet turned out to be the key to turn the whole story, to unlock it. And while the amulet hasn't gone away, and may never go away, the influence of the amulet has at least been contained. Okay, the sun is warm. The sun is hot. My nose is cold, but that sun is warm. So I've been trying to think of what the cat's MacGuffin might be. And as is my habit, I'm pretty sure I've been overthinking it. So I wrote 3 pages, I guess, this morning in the journal, brainstorming and trying to come up with the structure that will allow the cat to be an important part of the story. The cat already has a personality. I love this cat. This cat is wonderful. But I need to find a place for him in the story. And I need to introduce him. I need to give him a purpose, a reason. And it can't be ornamental. I mean, that's the thing. There has to be a reason that this cat is there. The same way there was a reason that the butler was there. I needed Roger to deal with the cursed amulet. So what do I need the cat to deal with? Well, there are a couple of things that come to mind immediately. And so I need to cross those off. Because I don't need what comes to mind immediately. I need something interesting. All right, that's unusual. You've got this overpass, underpass, culvert under the street. They're working on this side of it, where it's feeding into where the new culvert is going to go. And they had a ditch dug there. The ditch is now filled in, but there's no culvert. Or if it is, they covered up the leading edge of the culvert. They're working on a catch basin now, I think, to feed the outflow from... from the under road bit. I don't know what they're doing. We'll find out eventually. Come up on it, get ready, sit with me. Monk post. And I need another drink. Some of these trees are really showing bud work here. This one right here, what is that? It's actually showing some small leaves already. I've forgotten what that tree is. I probably could identify it if it had its full leaves on, but I don't think it's a maple. I hear some geese flying off in the distance. Stamina is not what it needs to be, I'll tell you that. But my, what a beautiful day. Spring has sprung here, apparently. So I'm still having fun playing with pens, identifying pens, trying to find, and you see them in auction and they're like, vintage. Vintage is kind of an undefined term. I've seen pens from 2010 being called vintage. You know, 15 years old, but... I don't know. I want to see something at least 25 years old before it's vintage. And then I realize 2000 is 24 years ago. So 1999, anything before 1999 is vintage. And I'm like, oh yeah, that's right. So pens that were common when I was in high school are not quite antique, but there are a lot of pens out there from the 30s and 40s. I saw a couple this morning from the 20s. I'm having to shy away from those, as attractive as they might be, until I'm more prepared to set up a pen repair shop and deal with the restoring the guts of them. The bladders on those old pens are usually bad. They're usually not very good. They were good, and now they're 60 years old and dried out and cracked and don't hold water, which means they won't hold ink. So they have to be replaced. And replacing them is not a complicated process. You have to pull the cover off, pull the barrel off, and usually that just screws off. But then the inner workings of how that bladder inside gets manipulated to pull ink up in through the nib, that has to be at least refurbished, or at least made sure that it actually works. And so, like the side lever pens, the old style fountain pens that you flick a little lever on the side, you open the lever up and then stick the pen in the ink and close the lever. And when you do that, the compressed bladder inside sucks up the ink. And that has to be in good shape. Because if that's not in good shape, then having a good bladder isn't going to make any difference. It's not going to, still not going to hold the water, the ink. And most of those are pretty much toasted. I've got one now that I'm debating whether or not it's worth sending it off to have it refurbished. I know I found a couple of pen doctors who do that kind of work. It wouldn't be terribly expensive, and when I get the pen back, it would be in complete working condition, and I'd be able to use it, and life would be good. But we'll hold off on that for the time being. I don't know what kinds of pen I like. So far, I found, you know, I don't really like the Vector. It's a Parker pen, and it's the grip, the section, is too small. It's too short. It feels smaller than a pencil in terms of width, in terms of diameter. It feels smaller than a pencil. I don't think it is. I think it's probably exactly the size of a pencil. But it's short. And so when you grab it, my thumb and finger rub up against the sharp edge of the body, and it's not comfortable. So being small and uncomfortable, I'm left with either holding it way far back, which is difficult to control, or not using it. For somebody with a smaller hand, it probably would work out fine. I don't think of myself as having particularly big fingers, but There it is. I like the pins that have a little heft to them, a little girth to them. So that my hand, my fingers have something to grip without feeling like I have to put it in a death grip to hold it on. That's one thing my Safari does. It has good grip. I like the grip. A lot of people don't like it because it's forcing me into a particular position on the grip, which works for me because it keeps the pen in the right orientation so that when the nib hits the page, the ink can flow. Some of these are round and awkward to hold and really easy to get the nib twisted around so that the side of the nib instead of the flat of the nib is against the paper. Doesn't work that well. But I'm still having fun. I still have pens I haven't inked yet. I use up this Rohrer and Klingner green ink called Verdana. Verdura. It's beautiful green. Holy crap. I never thought I'd like a green ink, but this is lovely. It's so fun to see it on the page and to see the words in green across the page. It's like the red dragon from Diamond. That really dark, rich red. It looks really cool. I put that in the Jotter, if I remember correctly. The Parker Jotter is a cheap pen, so you can still get them pretty cheap. It's a really nice fountain pen. I think I paid, I don't know, $4. $4 plus $5 shipping, so it was probably $10. But it was a brand new pen. As far as I can tell, it was a brand new pen. Came in a box and everything. All right, which pocket do I have the recorder in? Oh, I'm gonna have to get my roof redone this year. I can see a couple of places where the shingles are broken off. That's never a good sign. All right, regardless. I'm here, I'm at the back gate. Tomorrow's another day. And with any luck at all, I'll talk to you then.